a modern podcast where Chris and Mike talk about TV, movies, superheroes, and everything in between. It's time for Superhero Slate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Superhero Slate, the show where we run down the latest superhero entertainment news.
We love TV, movies, and superheroes, so let's talk it all out.
My name is Chris Dillard.
And my name is Mike Royer.
And on today's show, we talk about the Daredevil trailer, Marvel skipping San Diego Comic-Con, Star Wars spinoffs, DC Comics' new character designs, and a lot more.
Ooh, exciting.
Yes, you know what's more exciting?
What?
That special guest we have on our show today.
What? Oh, he's right next to me. I didn't even realize it.
Hello, people.
So we have a guest for our 10th episode, a special guest with us today. Why don't you go ahead and introduce him, Mike?
All right, so today we have with us Mr. Quentin Parker. He is a longtime show listener. He constantly writes in and berates us for saying things, so we just thought we'd have him on the show. For his credentials, he is a professional photographer, and he went to one of those fancy liberal arts schools, so I believe he actually legitimately took a class on comic books. So, yeah, so tell us about that.
Oh, I in fact did take a comic book class. Okay. I actually got an A on my last paper in that class, and I wrote it about Spider-Man's Back in Black. So I think that officially makes me an expert.
All right, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, Spider-Man, ooh. I have a life-size Spider-Man in a black suit right beside me. Does that make me an expert?
It might make you an expert.
I don't know. I mean, the degree is from a state university. So can we pull weight with that? I don't know.
Yeah, we're considered an Ivy League of the state universities.
It's like the smartest dumb kid in school. Something like that.
Oh, dear Lord. You too. Already.
Is it the dumbest smart kid? It's the dumbest smart kid.
Yeah, we're throwing shade over
here. I mean, we're all from Indiana. Let's not forget that fact.
Yeah. No chill. I was born in Chicago.
Yeah. I was born in Michigan, but it didn't take us long to get to Indiana.
So, but yeah, we have a guest, and as you can tell, the banter will be high today.
Yeah. This guy, he's got enough of it.
Actually, I'll tell you, Quentin gave me a good idea this week. Actually, it was his idea.
Yeah, what was that?
Live tweeting while you listen to the podcast.
That's a good idea.
Yes, it's. I kind of rip Chris's inbox for Friday because I went off. I had some time at work. We had a little bit of downtime. I was listening to the show and decided to give him some feedback as I was listening. So I think everybody, as you're listening, start tweeting these guys and letting them know how you feel.
Yeah, maybe we need to come up with some sort of hashtag, like this slate or something.
Maybe. Well,
the thing is, hashtags are so overpopulated, we have to find something that people aren't using already.
Yeah, hashtag Poundtine.
Jeez, it doesn't even matter what you tweeted. I didn't even tweet with Taylor Swift's handle in one of my tweets. I tweeted like her name actually spelled out in some sort of bot. Instantly favorited my tweet and wanted me to go to this website to learn how to make money from home. So it's insane.
And now Mike makes money from home.
Yeah, all you have, just go find this Taylor Swift tweet. Just tweet about Taylor Swift. They'll reach out to you. That's all you have to do.
True story. So anything else, Quentin, you'd like to let us know, let our listeners know about you before we jump in?
No, I think they're gonna learn everything they need to know about me throughout the show.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
I met Quentin at Mike's wedding, so that's a bonus.
Yeah, that's a little background. We all know each other.
Yeah, in person.
Mm-hmm. In person. We've all seen each other's faces. Yeah. We may have even rubbed elbows once or twice.
I think we were all getting dressed in the same room, so that's pretty special.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, all right, well, enough of that. Let's jump into this first news here.
All right. Lay it on me.
First thing I got this week, the Russo brothers, known for Winter Soldier, right?
Yes, yes.
Are lined up to direct a male-led Ghostbusters film.
Yes, which that's just news in itself. The Russo brothers, and also we're getting another Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah, that's two coming out, at least that we know of. Yeah. One female-led one with it's not a reboot, it's just like another Ghostbusters movie with chick Ghostbusters.
Uh-huh.
And then this one with the male people done by the Russo brothers.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure if it's part of like their Sony contract or not, but it may be.
Well, I think I officially heard someone or some blog out there use the word franchise for Ghostbusters, and no one can escape the franchise anymore. Everything has to be franchised now.
Yeah, and you know, like, I'm indifferent on Ghostbusters. Like, it's not something I'm big in. Quentin, what do you feel? How do you feel about Ghostbusters?
We probably should have stopped a long time ago with the Ghostbusters. But I think that the, I thought that the female, the all-female Ghostbusters was going to be a very interesting, an idea that we were going to get to see. The cast is really strong for the female Ghostbusters. I think this is a little undercutting. It might be a little dangerous to oversaturate the market with two Ghostbusters. I mean, they're let's call them what they are. They're reboots. We're trying to cash in on that generation of people getting a little bit older. They've got the money now, and they're going to be the ones going out seeing these movies. So I think it's going to be a little too much. But
yeah, I agree. To the point, like, they created what's called the Ghost Corps. And it's Ivan Reitman and Dan Aykroyd, you know, who worked on the first Ghostbusters movies, are, like, churning out this Ghostbusters stuff. And all we know is, you know, this male and female Ghostbusters movie. What else do they have in store for us on Ghostbusters?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can't be too precious with the movie. I mean, when the original movies came out, they made sure that they very quickly came out with cartoon shows and toys.
So it's and Ecto Cooler.
Yeah. So it's not. Are we gonna have to put that in the show notes again? These people need to know how to make Ecto Cooler right and where it came from.
Well, they should go listen to it for themselves.
Yeah, but I mean, I just don't know how to feel. Like, this is, it's just like so much Ghostbusters information out of nowhere. I mean, for the longest time, like, we weren't even sure if we were even gonna get another Ghostbusters movie, and now all of a sudden we have two. With, like, Channing Tatum in it, which is something I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, that's definitely something they've announced, that, you know, he's attached to it, and Chris Pratt is supposedly might be attached to it as well.
That Chris Pratt so hot right now.
He is so hot right now.
Chris Pratt is in everything.
Yeah, that's a good thing, though.
Are we going to get too much Chris Pratt? Are we going to get tired of Chris Pratt?
Are we worried about the oversaturation? He's going to be Indiana Jones. He's going to be a Ghostbuster. He's practically in Star Wars by being in Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's true.
You know what? I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we see one of these, like, standalone Star Wars movies or these, like, offshoot Star Wars movies, like, with a Chris Pratt in it.
I don't want that.
Yeah, I don't really want it either. But I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, well, I mean, back to my point is, not only do they have, like, people, like, actors attached to this, they even have a writer for Drew Pierce. And, you know, he's known, like, in the comic book world for doing Iron Man 3. Working with Shane Black on that. So, I mean, it's a lot of stuff, a lot of, like, kind of facts coming at us. And, like you said, it's just out of nowhere.
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. I think we just need time to digest it. I mean, they've announced, like, a franchise. It sounds like they want to get at least probably 4 or 5 movies out of this. I would assume they're probably shooting for 6 just because, you know, they have 2 different teams now. They're probably going to have them team up at some point, do some sort of a trilogy at the very bare minimum. They want to milk the Ghostbusters again. I mean, I don't think the concept is necessarily a bad idea. I think it's kind of cool, like a comedy movie, and they're trying to catch ghosts. It's probably a reason why the first 2 films were so interesting. So I don't think it's a bad concept to bring back, but it just seems weird. It's just like, we are all super hyped for, like, a female cast, but now they're just kind of like, male cast too. Don't worry, we're making everyone happy.
Except me. Because there's too many Ghostbusters. No, I'm kidding. But, like, and that's something else was brought up with the Russo brothers attached. You know, like, they're doing Captain America: Civil War, and that's getting ready to kick off filming this month, next month, for a May 2016 release, and that's going to be huge.
Yeah.
But they were also, you know, from that Sony leak and stuff, you know, said that they were going to be directing the Infinity Gauntlet movies, the Infinity War movies.
Yeah.
What does this mean for that if they're going to instead be working on Ghostbusters?
Yeah, you know, I don't think I want them distracted at all. That's what I think.
Yeah, Russo brothers, man, they're so hot too.
Russo brothers.
They want them for everything.
Yeah, and honestly, since they have the Sony deal, are we supposed to assume that they might even get a Spider-Man movie too? You know, are they going to break the Russo brothers up? You know, is that kind of Sony's idea? It's like, well, we got 2 very good directors here, and there's no reason why we can't separate them and have them work on their own movies. I don't know.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Only time will tell and leaked information.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Ghostbusters, that's a thing. It's coming back, like, I don't even know, man. I just give up on it already. Yeah, sorry.
So much info.
Yeah. So, speaking of new information, we're going to move on to the next topic here.
Yeah.
Daredevil comes out in less than a month.
Ooh, we're so close.
You're so close. We're going to have a 13-hour binge watch session.
Oh, yeah.
And they dropped the first official full-length trailer on us this week.
Yeah, so this, and more than likely, I'm kind of assuming that this might be one of the last trailers. I don't know if we're going to get a third one or not, because we're getting so close to the release.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, honestly, we're going to see TV spots, kind of like movies do.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, they were showing it during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're going to see a lot of TV spots, no more full-length trailers, because we're about 25 days away from it. So we watched that trailer. You guys watched it right before you came on today. Uh-huh. What do you think of it?
Yeah, what do you think about it, Quentin?
Well, we all know that I have a very strong policy on trailers, but this one doesn't expose too much. It pretty much goes over everything we already know about the character that is Daredevil / Mr. Murdock. I mean, there's lots of talk about lawyers and him being blind, and we get to see a little bit more of the Kingpin. And then I also noticed a new actress that I didn't realize was in this, Deborah Ann Wall. You guys might know her from True Blood. She makes a short appearance there, and she seems to be some sort of love interest to our male lead there. She mm-hmm. plays a character named Karen Page.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what her role is in the series and what it will be, but it says she's slated for all 13 episodes, I believe.
Yes, that is true. To kind of give you a little background, Karen Page is a love interest of Daredevil, but it's always a tragic kind of love interest.
Mm-hmm.
Like where she goes, kind of death follows kind of deal.
Okay. Yeah, she in one of the trades I've been reading, she is very tragic, and she is not always the best thing for Daredevil to have around. So I guess this will be a good way to put drama in his life. He's already blind. Let's give him female problems.
Yeah. That's pretty rough there, actually. there's something I noticed about this trailer. It started off with the Kingpin actually talking about how he wanted to save his city.
Yeah.
I thought it was Daredevil.
Yeah, I actually just caught that. I didn't catch it until the second time when we just watched it, and I realized, well, wait a minute, I'm pretty sure that's his voice.
Yeah, and it kind of mirrors, like, you know, at the end he says to Daredevil, he's like, we're the same person, and Murdock's like, no, we're not. So I think mm-hmm. they kind of have, like, the same goals. I think they're just going about it in very different ways.
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty smart. I mean, the Kingpin is one of the premier villains in the whole Marvel universe. So I think it's important that they try to make him multidimensional. I mean, they're not exactly going to turn him into an anti-hero or, like, a villain that maybe necessarily tries to do good. I mean, most mobsters out there are always, like, spouting, saying that they're trying to make their neighborhood better or things like that. But, you know, Marvel's always had problems with villains kind of falling flat. But, you know, when you're doing, like, a TV series, you need someone that's going to stand the test of time, and Kingpin's always been a big baddie, so this is good. I mean, this is good. It sounds like he's going to have a little bit more character behind him, and if there's obvious, I think there's obviously going to be a second season of Daredevil somewhere down the line, and the Kingpin's probably going to have a through line through nearly most every story arc that they bring across.
Yeah, I think him being in Hell's Kitchen will be felt across Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist.
Uh-huh.
And he'll be a big part of it. And honestly, like I told you this week earlier, like they look like they ripped Vincent D'Onofrio off the page of those old comic books.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He looks like the Kingpin,
mm-hmm.
and that's awesome to me.
Yeah, I think I was saying this earlier too, and I want to know what Quentin thinks about this. The Kingpin's always kind of been drawn as this, like, big beast of a man. I mean, there's no human on the planet that quite has the proportions that the Kingpin does in the comic books. And that actually kind of gives him a little bit of a superpower, too. I mean, if you were able to stomach the Daredevil Ben Affleck movie, you were able to see that when Ving Rhames played him, he did kind of have kind of almost superhero quality type strength. So it seems like maybe in the show they're going to maybe have to make him just more ruthless and conniving, because it seems like, you know, if he's like punching somebody, it's not gonna quite be as hard as it would be in the comics, you know.
I'm gonna add in a correction before we get yelled at. That was Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, it was Michael Clark.
Oh, what did I say? Ving Rhames?
You said Ving Rhames. Oh. I didn't want to jump in and cut you off, but it was Michael Clark Duncan.
Well, it's a good thing that we got people here smarter than me.
We forgive you for only watching it once.
Michael Clark Duncan he's a mountain of a man. Or, yes, we're going to say that. He's a mountain of a man. And when you think about Kingpin, especially in the comic books, I mean, this is a character that goes toe-to-toe with superpowered individuals, not only Daredevil, but I mean, he squares off with Spider-Man quite a few times, and you know, he's not been ripped limb from limb by an individual who actually has superpowers, being Spider-Man. So you expect him to be a little bit more physically menacing, but in this may be a little bit more of a, he might just be a little bit smarter than Matt Murdock, and the idea that he's a little bit more of a public figure as a villain. He doesn't wear a mask. He doesn't run around at night, you know, breaking into places, breaking into banks. He does everything in the, you know, smoky dark rooms. So he's a different type of villain that is allowed to exist a little bit more in a public space. So we're gonna see a lot more story behind his villainy.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be great. Like, I'm glad they went for him and not Elektra or Bullseye in like the first season, and that's gonna pay off huge. I just want to throw out a little tidbit here. If you watch when it shows his dad going to the boxing rings and battling Jack Murdock on the back of a robe, that's actually a red and yellow throwback to the original Daredevil costume, which was red and yellow.
Mm. Good. That was a good spot there. I did see the name. I didn't make the connection between the old school Daredevil suit.
Yeah. So if you watch it again, I know Quentin won't, but if anybody else does, look out for that.
Yeah, I pretty much had to. I didn't even ask him if he wanted to watch this trailer. I was just like, I just started playing it, and I didn't give him a chance to leave.
So, Daredevil trailer, thumbs up, boys. Yes.
Yeah. Thumbs up. I'm excited for this show.
Yeah. Do you think you're gonna? Are you gonna binge it all episodes, or are you gonna space it out?
I'll probably space it out over a weekend, maybe 2 or 3 days. It might bleed over until like a Wednesday or something, but it's not gonna take me too long to watch all of it. It's only 13 episodes.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yep, check it out, April 10th, Netflix only. Speaking of more stuff we've seen from Marvel this week, we got to see a lot here. Two new Age of Ultron posters, character posters revealed.
Yep,
let the Photoshop hate begin.
Speaking from a professional photographer, I'm sure Quentin's seen his fair share of Photoshop work. But something I want to notice that we had the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver this week. Two people we've kind of not seen yet. And the witch has a bunch of rings on her fingers, is pointed out to me. I didn't notice this when I first looked at it. And she's got that gypsy vibe, and I don't think this is going to be related, but it makes me think of the Ten Rings. Like the magic rings from the Mandarin.
Yes, oh, okay. The Mandarin's magic rings.
I don't think it's related because, you know, she gets her powers from the staff, but it did kind of bring that vibe up whenever you see those rings.
Yeah, I'm still not sold on this whole staff power thing. I'm gonna have to wait to see how it goes down. I'm just being grumpy. I don't know if it'll come from the staff. I don't care what those pre-release comics say.
or the end of Winter Soldier.
Yeah, well, we don't know yet. We'll just wait and see.
But next up, also Quicksilver. I want to point this out. His suit looks like it's actually kind of made, like. Or he bought it at, like, a Dick's Sporting Goods. One of the two. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, you got to have something that's going to be able to stand up to the those high speeds that he's going to be reaching. So we're going to get some exposition about his suit and how it doesn't rip apart as he's moving at these crazy speeds. And then we're just going to have to get over it, and we're going to have to move past it. But, yeah, it does kind of look like Under Armour that he got at the, you know, at Dick's Sporting Goods. What are you going to do?
I mean, I'm not knocking it. It looks great. I think it's a really good translation of his outfit to the screen. I think it's got to have an explanation, like you said. And I can't wait to hear what it is.
I prefer the Thunderbolt across the body.
You want him a little bit more comic booky?
I want him all comic booky.
Well, I think the biggest problem the biggest hurdle that they're going to have with Quicksilver is making him as likable as the Quicksilver in Days of Future Past, because everyone knows that that one just took us a total surprise. He looked silly as hell in those like cover of those magazines with those goggles and that Pink Floyd shirt and the shiny, super shiny jacket. But he ended up being like one of the best parts of the movie. So hopefully the actor who's playing Quicksilver, I don't remember his name.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah, he played Kick-Ass. We'll have to see if he can bring the charm to it as well.
I don't think we're gonna get that that same amount of comic relief from this Quicksilver. I mean, they're gonna go for a completely different vibe with this version of him. I believe, you know, that one, you're looking at a kid who's, you know, clearly misunderstood, and he finally gets a chance to misbehave. And this, you got, you know, the stakes are much higher in this, so it's gonna be a lot different.
Yeah,
I think that something that Age of Ultron brings to the table that Days of Future Past and is his foil is his twin sister, at how he's really overprotective of her, and like that's really kind of like his own like that motivates him to do whatever he does, whether it's work with Ultron or work with the Avengers. So I think we're gonna see a lot more of a deeper Quicksilver, if you would. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I could see that, and I agree with Quentin that the tone of this movie overall is gonna have like a pretty serious vibe, as when Quicksilver was in Days of Future Past, he was just kind of like he was just goofing around. So I it'll be good though.
There is something that we still need to discuss about the twins is the M word. This is something that hasn't come up quite yet when talking about these two and how this is being handled and how it might be a little confusing for those that are slightly immersed in the universe versus those that have no idea what's going on, and everybody like us who know clearly that there are some hurdles and red tape to get around as far as using these two characters in a Marvel property.
When you say that, I mean, do you have something in mind? Like, I mean, I've always speculated that they were going to take the Inhuman route, especially as that's becoming more prevalent in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now, and they get a movie later. But maybe like, and Mike doesn't have to agree with this, but go ahead.
Oh no, go. Well, I was going to say M word. Are you talking about Magneto or are you talking about mutants?
Both.
Oh, okay.
You have to talk about both when you talk about these two, because they're extremely important to, linking these characters to the X-Men and that fashion that they are the children of Magneto. But in this movie, we'll not have that link because of ridiculous things that have happened far, far too long ago that we're not really going to get into right now because it's been discussed at length already.
Well, I just want to point out that they've not always been Magneto's children in the comics. Like, way before Magneto, like, the Magneto concept came around in the 80s. Before that, the Whizzer, a Marvel character who's a lot like Quicksilver, was the father.
The Whizzer? Of them. I don't know who that is.
Yeah, yeah. So like, it's just more of a modern conception that Magneto has always been the father. And even if you read the comics right now, we know that that's also is on like being tested in the comics.
See, this is why Chris takes the wheel of the show, because he knows who the Wizard is.
He does in fact throw down the Wizard card.
Yeah, it's a very rare card. I don't think you ever get to play it ever again. Like, this is the only time.
This is the one time the Wizard card is the ace in the hole.
Yeah, so I think the Magneto thing's kind of, it's just more of a recent kind of thing still. It's in the since like the late 80s, 90s. But as for mutants, I think Marvel has their out with the Inhumans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, they're not shy to use the Inhumans.
But House of M was my favorite book.
It can still be your favorite book.
Yeah. Well, I mean, more specifically with some of these schedule changes, like the Inhumans have been put, what, after Infinity Wars now, right?
Yeah, they're the first movie after Infinity Wars over. Yeah.
So I don't know if they're officially slated to be the end of Phase 3 or possibly maybe they're starting Phase 4. Either whatever it is, officially or unofficially, they're definitely counting on Inhumans to kind of fill out the Marvel Universe when they possibly might lose some actors that are playing some really pivotal roles. So I don't think the twins, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, are going to be Inhumans. I don't really like the idea of the staff giving them powers, but I can't really think of a good way to give them power since mutants don't exist.
But we could always refer to the Wizard.
That is right. And I'm pretty sure Marvel still owns him.
Yeah, so maybe the wizard will make a, like, maybe he'll be the end credit scene.
Let's just bank on Marvel throwing down the wizard card and then everyone having to deal with it and moving on.
Yeah, we'll take bets on if the wizard appears at the end of the show in a later podcast.
So
yeah.
What's the over under on the wizard being the guy?
Yeah. Zero for everybody.
Yeah. Everyone gets their money back. It's just a waste of time.
So, but yeah, we've seen those pictures. I expect to see one for the Vision as we get a lot closer.
Will we?
And one for Ultron.
Well, you think so?
I do think so. That'll be like the week before the movie comes out, probably.
Yeah, maybe. If Vision is coming, it's going to be just before.
You don't think they'll save that as a surprise for in the movie? I feel like they've hinted at it enough in every poster, but that's because I'm looking for him and I know exactly.
Yeah, we know we're looking for Vision. Well, no one else.
And you're looking at, you know, posters. Like, I have a Vision pop vinyl now.
I mean, you already know he's there.
Yeah, and a lot of the promotional materials for like the mugs and the cups and stuff that they're gonna sell in theaters for that day has been seen. So they're gonna see him the day of. So I'm banking week before as like to get more people hyped for the Purple Man.
I feel like they're going about this in a strange manner. As in, when you think about Rocket Raccoon and Groot, those characters were put up at the forefront to kind of soften the blow of the ridiculousness of these two characters being introduced into your Marvel universe. But with the Vision, him being the last one, but also being the most unique as his appearance goes, I think it's a very interesting approach that they're taking here. But we'll see how it pays off.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to the Vision, it's two particular reasons why we haven't seen him yet. First of all, it's just a very abstract concept to people that don't understand who he is. So, you know, we're already getting Ultron. People know, like, oh, that's a robot with AI, that makes sense. But then you're kind of getting into this middle ground with the Vision. And also on top of all that, I think you know, I don't know how they're going to introduce him quite yet into the movie, but I don't think he's going to be right at the beginning. I don't think the Vision's going to show up until maybe the third act. So I think maybe they just kind of want to save what they have of the Vision for a little bit of a surprise. But I don't know. It's just like, I think we're all just so excited for the movie. We're just finding reasons to talk about anything just to bide our time.
It's true.
Yeah.
In that case, topic it's closed. It's over.
What was that? Is that a burp?
Yeah, I was drinking water right before that, okay. So I apologize.
We'll get it in post. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. That's how we make these podcasts. So we'll come back to Age of Ultron later, but let's talk about Marvel's the biggest, I would. It's not an announcement. It's not a rumor. It's like above a rumor, but below an announcement. They're skipping San Diego Comic-Con, according to James Gunn. So what do you think about that? I mean, you guys, like, you vied for those San Diego Comic-Con tickets. You would have gone for blood if that was how they did it. Yeah. But, and then James Gunn says they're missing the biggest comic event of the year for their movies. Uh-huh. What do you think of that?
Well, because I'm not going, I'm okay with it. Because I will not be there, I am totally fine with them not being there. I do think it's a little strange for Marvel to not have a presence at, you know, one of the world's largest and greatest and most highly anticipated comic book or comic-related events on the planet. But, you know, things happen, and there's, you know, maybe they don't have the time, maybe they're trying to focus on something, maybe they just don't want to release too much information about what they're doing in the future. Or who knows, maybe they don't have enough information to even take a spot at San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I definitely want to know kind of what's up with this. I mean, I think Disney is behind this.
Yeah.
Because Disney has Star Wars, Marvel, and all the other Disney stuff. And they hold something called, D23 or something like that?
Yeah, something kind of like that. I think it's in Anaheim.
Yeah, it's like their own, like, Comic-Con, then it just attracts Disney fans.
Uh-huh.
And I think Marvel Studios will not be there, but I think Marvel Comics will be at San Diego.
Yeah, I believe I've seen it confirmed that Marvel in the comic point of view will be there. And I have mixed feelings about this whole thing, and I don't really know how to feel quite yet. First of all, I could see them maybe not being there this year just because the way their schedule is working out. So remind me real quick, Chris, when is Ant-Man's release?
July.
July. What's the date?
I think it's towards the end.
Okay, well, either way, Ant-Man is going to be coming out the same month that San Diego Comic-Con is. So basically what I'm thinking is if Marvel was to come to Comic-Con, you know, what would they even show? I mean, they might show the crowd clips, maybe some clips from Civil War, if they got any yet. They usually announce, like, the past couple of Comic-Cons, they've announced films, but they've already kind of had that separate press conference in Hollywood, you know, months back where they unveiled the entire Phase 3. So it's kind of like they just kind of blew their load already this year. So, you know, what would they even do if they came to Comic-Con? And then also, I mean, I'm not going to be there, so I guess it doesn't really matter, but the Marvel booth at Comic-Con is just like a nightmare on the showroom floor. Like the whole crowd that forms around that, it makes a lot of traffic problems in the aisles in the exhibition center that I don't particularly appreciate, okay? So,
salt.
I mean, I guess traffic might be a little bit better on the expo floor if they're not showing up with some of their high-level celebrities and movie props, but I don't know, maybe that won't change since they're going to kind of have comic stuff there. But then, of course, you're going to have the people out there that say, you know, good riddance, yeah. Comic-Con is supposed to be about comics. Comic
books and not the movies.
Yeah, so, I mean, but the thing is, it's not like we're not going to be getting Marvel news. Marvel Studios might not be there, but Fox is going to be there. Sony possibly might be. I don't really know what capacity Sony would do now, but we can't forget that Warner Brothers is still going to be there. And this is probably going to be huge for Warner Brothers. Holy crap. Not having Marvel Studios at a Comic-Con when they have huge movies coming out next year. I mean, they're probably going to be showing clips from Batman Superman. They're probably going to be announcing like new characters, maybe new costumes, like test footage. Like, this is the year where Warner Brothers needs to just step up and just go insane.
Yeah, you're right. And I think I'm going to go lean more towards a bad timing. Uh-huh. Because I just looked this up. Ant-Man comes out July 17th.
Uh-huh.
San Diego is July 12th.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that week before that movie, I mean, they could definitely use that time to hype the movie a lot there. But again, you know, the percentage of comic book fans versus moviegoers is so small.
Yeah, and by the time Comic-Con comes around, all the trailers and TV spots for Ant-Man will already have been out. So
yeah, and honestly, they may change their mind at this point. Who knows what other information they could have? The casting of Spider-Man would be a huge draw. And, you know, maybe they'll change their mind. Like, you know, this was what we were going to do, but they may change their mind later.
Yeah, but I think your theory of the D23 thing makes a lot of sense because that's what I thought of too. You know, Disney is huge. They have Star Wars and all those other properties. They can hold their own convention. I mean, but, you know, I don't even know if the general public's allowed to go to D23 or if it's just invite only. And, I mean, I could never even get in the Hall H anyway because the lines are always so long. So even if I went, I wouldn't be missing anything. But I don't know. Let's just hope Warner Brothers ramps up the vibe and makes Comic-Con feel like the crazy circus that it is. You know, because some people might not like the crazy circus, but the crazy circus makes San Diego extra fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that. This next part, I'm just going to read through. We don't really have to discuss it.
Uh-huh.
It's really funny. Walt Disney Studios had a shareholder meeting this week.
Uh-huh.
And the CEO, Bob Iger, I believe it is, announced that there will be no smoking in any Disney films rated PG-13 or below, which I think that's always been true.
Yeah.
But that now includes Marvel Studios movies.
Uh-huh.
Unless there's a compelling historical reason for it.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who smokes in those movies anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think it will affect us. Yeah. But I just thought that was interesting. They made sure to include Marvel Studios in that.
Yeah, I think just touching, like you said, we're just going to touch this really quick. I believe they said for rated R movies, this is totally fine. So we don't have to worry about it like ruining any sort of like Deadpool. Maybe Deadpool wants to smoke. We don't have to worry about him doing that if that's rated R.
But that's Fox.
Yeah, and then I believe also I remember seeing if there's any – it doesn't necessarily have to be historical reason, just if the character absolutely has to smoke, they just have to show it in a negative light. Like maybe if he's smoking a stogie, he has to start hacking at the end of the scene. So, I mean, it's not a huge deal. I mean, this is kind of what you expect when you get a huge franchise like Disney.
You know, I take it back. J. Jonah Jameson is known for chomping on a cigar.
Oh, that's true.
And, I mean, it's a simple fix of, you know – hey, Jaina, you know those things are going to kill you. And then we just move on. Like, it doesn't need to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Well, you know, this is historical reasons. J. Jonah Jameson is a historical character by now. He has been around for a while, so I think maybe they'll let that slide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but technically, if it's a Sony, it's technically still a Sony movie, right? So
that's very gray area. I don't want to touch that, but that's just the thing that came to mind.
Work it out.
Yeah, this is going to be the drama of like 2016, 2017. Will Jonah have his stogie
cigar? I wish that was our biggest problem.
Yeah.
Can we make a hashtag for that?
Yeah. Yeah.
we're supposed to touch on this lightly. Moving on.
Right. So next, speaking of Disney stuff, they unveiled a new Tomorrowland trailer this week as well. I will see it. I don't have a burning desire to watch it.
Uh-huh.
I think you probably have a bigger one than I do.
Yeah, I thought the teaser trailer earlier in the year grabbed me pretty well. Yeah. So.
Just lay it on me real quick what you thought of this trailer, both of you, if you will.
All right. Well, I guess I'll give a little bit of an overview. This is kind of like the first official trailer. We start to get kind of a setup of what Tomorrowland is, how these characters fit together, how George Clooney kind of connects with this female lead. I got a way more of a whimsical vibe from this trailer than I did with the teaser. There's a scene that probably everyone's gonna mention with they get in a bathtub and they shoot off like a rocket. I mean, that's very Disney cartoony, but I think it ended up working out well. So it doesn't seem like the movie is gonna take itself too seriously, even though it seemed to have kind of a more serious vibe. So this is another trailer that I forced Quentin to watch, so let's see what he thinks about it.
Well, I'll start off by saying when I watched the very first teaser for this movie, it piqued my interest just a little bit. Not enough to send me to, you know, running to the theater with waving my money in the air, but enough that I was interested at where they were going to go with this. After watching this trailer, I got a little bit of an Ender's Game vibe. You know, if you've ever read the book, listened to the audiobook, or even watched that movie that came out a couple of years ago, I started to get a little bit of a feeling of Ender's Game, just with, you know, we've got this young prodigy that we need to bring in. She's going to help save whatever is going on. She's the key. She's the one thing that we're missing. We've got a society of pretty much geniuses who've created a future land, uh-huh. and we need the help of an outsider because we're missing this one piece, uh-huh. it seems. It's one of the, you know, it's just kind of that setup that we've got this one last thing that we need, and she's it. But it seems interesting. It seems like it could be very entertaining, very whimsical, like Mike said. George Clooney is always a favorite of mine, so that might...
He's a handsome man.
So that might push me over the edge come call time.
I'll tell you, I don't want to go on this because I'm indifferent, but the one cool thing about this trailer, when she touches that Tomorrowland pin and everything changes around her,
uh-huh.
is used so well.
Yeah, I mean, talk about restraint when it came to, like, just the visual idea of it. Because it's super simple. Anyone out there could do this with, like, probably the most basic video editing software. Like, you know, just, like, turning on and off, like, the palette in the background. But it just works really well, like, with the grand scale that they're showing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. If you want to watch the trailer, check out our show notes. Let us know what you think of it.
Yeah.
Next up, Disney kept giving us lots of stuff this week. This is probably the biggest news of the week, and Mike, about Peter's pants, I think.
Star Wars!
That was Mike falling off the chair.
Wow, yeah, there were some Star Wars announcements this week, including the first standalone film.
Yes.
Rogue One.
It was just very great timing because Mike just created a comic on Pickled Comics about one of the Rogue Squadron members.
Yes.
Rogue Squadron.
Yeah, back in the day. Well, I don't... Porkins. I don't really know if it's going to end up connecting too well, if at all, since this is early in the future. But, I mean, I know people are really excited about this for a different reason than I am. I'm excited just because it's Star Wars, so they could put out any Star Wars information. I'm just gonna like pee my pants like a little kid. But apparently, I don't know if any of you guys had played the video game, but apparently there was a really popular Star Wars video game called, like, I don't know, Rogue Squadron or Rogue Squadron. Something.
Rogue Squadron, dog. Come on.
So did you guys play that game? Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh yeah, I did.
Yeah. So tell me about it.
I mean, honestly, like, to me, it was, you know, one of those ship piloting games.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think there was one very similar. It's a Battle for Naboo, I think. And you just, it was great for the time. I think it was, what, N64, Quentin?
Yes, it was N64.
Yeah, and it was just one of the better Nintendo games that you could fly around on. I don't know. I have a fond memory of it. I haven't touched it recently.
Yeah, so I know people were really hyped because, you know, they're seeing that connection there. You know, I was a little surprised because I was under the impression that this was supposed to be a Boba Fett heist movie. I think that maybe that is still in the works, but I think this is kind of cool, you know, like a fighter pilot movie, but like X-Wings and stuff. That sounds cool to me.
Yeah, there are two more standalone films they haven't announced yet that will take place in between episode 8 and 9 and then after 9. But this one's cool. It's coming out in December 2016, so we're under 2 years away. And it's directed by Gareth Edwards of Godzilla fame. It's starring Felicity Jones. And I mentioned she's from Amazing Spider-Man 2. I don't know if you guys remember her.
If I don't know. First, you have to remember the shitty movie, but...
Yeah. we discuss her role in Amazing Spider-Man 2, but... Doing a little bit of light research on her, she was actually slated as more of an indie movie star. So she's been in a lot more than just Spider-Man 2. But what was it? More recently, she was in The Theory of Everything.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And previous to that, I couldn't give you too long of a list. Like Crazy, The Invisible Woman, Shallow Girl, as things go on further on, they get a little less relevant to us. But she's... She's very experienced, so we just have to kind of sit back and wait and see what she does.
I think I'm gonna point this out here, that Star Wars, The Force Awakens and Rogue One both have it seems very female heavy cast, which is kind of awesome for Star Wars movies. You know, only having mostly Leia throughout the original trilogy, and Padme crying most of the time and the other three. So I think they're focusing on these strong female characters, and that's a great step for the Star Wars.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I'm kind of hoping maybe Quentin tells his mom to listen to this specific episode of the show, because she's like the first woman I've ever met that has like what every single like Star Wars book on her like shelf. So she knows like more about Star Wars than we do combined, probably. Yes.
My mom started us off young, and she just kept going. She read lots and lots and lots and lots of post-trilogy
Expanded universe.
So she is very well versed. So we may actually have to get her in here at some point.
We should get
and just pick her brain.
You need to get on the phone with her and like get like a couple minute review of the movie when it comes out. You know, and then we'll cut it into the show. We'll see how she liked it.
Now I want to know. I was at C2E2 last year when they announced that the expanded universe was no longer canon. How did she take that?
Well, she. My mother is a very interesting fan, as she is not like us, where she does not get too emotionally attached. So she read those stories, and to her, they were great stories.
So you're saying she's just being an adult about it?
Yeah, she's being an adult about it. She handled it a lot better than we would have if we had spent all that time investing half of our lives reading all these great Star Wars movies, and then to have them kind of abandoned like that.
She's got, like, taxes and real stuff to worry about.
Yeah. Well, Mom, if you're listening... Send me my taxes.
Yeah. Before Daredevil.
Taxes. Yeah. Oh, so, man.
But also, on top of Rogue One, I just thought they gave us some information on episode 8.
Star Wars!
Oh, Lord.
There he goes again.
There he goes again. So, Rian Johnson of Looper fame is directing Star Wars 8 and 9.
Uh-huh.
Not the guy who's doing this one, the Star Trek guy.
Uh-huh.
What's his name?
JJ?
Oh, yeah, JJ. I was going to call him the light beam guy because of all the
lens flares.
Yeah. But they moved instead of releasing the movie, you know, 2 years after the episode 7, it's May of 2017.
Ooh, we're, yeah. That's right on the heels.
I mean, I kind of expected that. You know, when you kind of are blowing this universe out as crazy as it is now, like, you know, you're kind of expecting, like, movies every year now. Like, I kind of noticed this trend pop up when it came to these Hunger Games movies. Like, the first Hunger Games movies came out, you know, you saw it in theaters, and you're like, oh, they're going to be developing the other books and everything. And then you realize, like, oh, like, the next movie comes out, I believe it was 2 years out for that second Hunger Games movie. But then they're just like, oh, yeah, and then you're getting the next one the year after. Then you're getting the next one the year after that. And then guess what? We're splitting it up in the two parts. You're getting it after that. I think Hollywood now is just kind of organizing their schedules where they realize if we want these franchises to stay relevant, we need something every single year. We can't have like these years where nothing comes out, because if we don't have stuff coming out, like these superhero movies are flooding the market, you know, we got to compete. So, I mean, it makes sense, and I think they're doing it great by kind of doing these middle films, but buffering them with these kind of standalone. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, and also, I think it's like, what, the 40th anniversary of when that came out. The oh, first really? One came out, because the first one was May 25th, 1977, and this one's May 25th, 2017.
Oh, yeah, so maybe they'll tie it in there.
Yeah, so they definitely, you know, it wasn't an accident they picked that. Uh-huh. Yeah, but I think that's great that they're speeding up the production on these instead of dragging it out. Uh-huh. And that, you know, we're not going to be waiting like Lord of the Rings to continue the story. Like, they just don't drop us off and like, oh, you got to wait 2 years for the next one.
Yeah, there's no reason to complain about this. I mean, we're living in a world where not only do we get Star Wars, we get it every year for probably at least 6 years. I mean, that's...
At least.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And just imagine what it was like before when we weren't even alive when the first Star Wars came out. And by the time we were able to watch the movies, they had been out for who knows how long.
But I swear, if we get Episode 9, Part 1, and Episode 9, Part 2, I'm going to kill someone, because that's the dumbest idea ever. And they better not do it. I mean, I guess go Episode 10. You got the numbers, and you might as well use them.
Who doesn't want Star Wars X? Come on, baby. Give me Star Wars X.
Oh, my gosh. It works so well for Jason X.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense, because if you're putting these intermediate standalone movies in the middle, isn't it kind of weird to end this Star Wars franchise on a middle movie? Like, I mean, you would think Episode 9 would be the bookend, not some sort of standalone film. I mean, we would be silly to assume that they're not shooting for an Episode 10 or an Episode 11 or an Episode 12. But I don't think they would end it. I don't think they would end this multi-billion dollar deal on some sort of standalone film.
Yeah, we'll definitely, we'll have to see when that comes out, like how, I mean, everyone's going to go see it, so hopefully they don't ruin it.
Yeah, but man, this little tiny bit of other Star Wars news made me pretty excited too that we got here.
Yes, you want tell us what that is, Quentin. I know you know what this is.
We are going to get a original unaltered cut of Star Wars trilogy on Blu-ray, which is just another name for another big fancy box set of a movie that you own probably three times over.
But
already.
this is important, because as most people don't know, you can't watch the original trilogy in widescreen unless you put some work into it. Like, when these films came out and they started putting them out on VHS, you know, we're going to have standard definition. And when these films finally made it to DVD, that's when George Lucas started tinkering with them. I mean, you're going to get all these extra CG effects with these widescreen versions. Like, you can't just sit down and watch this movie like you did in the theater anymore, unless you're me, because I specifically, like 2 years ago, went on the search for these original movies. And I believe I found them on the Pirate Bay, and I did not feel bad for pirating these movies, because I literally could not get them with any amount of money, because I believe it's some sort of video capture from like the Laserdisc, because I think the Laserdisc is the only widescreen version of this of the films in widescreen, so it's like some sort of Laserdisc download or whatever, but you still get like all the crazy, like, handmade special effects. Like, I remember specifically as a kid when I was watching these in Empire when they're trying to take down the is it the AT-ATs with yes. the four legs?
ATATs.
When they're in the cockpit, you can specifically see, like, you know, where things just don't look quite right, where the glass meets like the ship, things just get a little wonky, and I kind of really like that. And it's just cool. I'm glad that we're getting an unaltered release. You know, we know we're gonna get cool special features on there. We're kind of getting like a holistic original back to the beginning. So I'm totally on board with this. I'm gonna buy it.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely gonna buy it too. Even though I already own the new Blu-ray versions.
Yeah.
Simply because, you know, this is like one of the few times where it's not a they're not releasing a director's cut or an extended cut. Uh-huh. It's like a D director's cut,
yeah,
D extended cut version, uh-huh. And you're right, you know, like it's just great to see these old ones because I had the Blu-ray version, and like you know, in Empire you can see like the person holding like the snow monster. What is he? A wampa or something like that?
What is it? Oh man, we are really call your mom.
Oh,
I saw the pop vinyl this weekend. Either way, like you can see the person like throwing the hand down. And stuff like that. And I miss that for, like, these great movies, you know, showing that they were made by people. And, like, there are mistakes, but it's still fun.
Uh-huh.
So.
You know what? I'm just going to go back and grab my VHS versions of these movies.
Can you capture those for me? Yeah. I'll send them my way.
I will do my best.
They're still going to be standard. You're not going to be widescreen.
Letterbox them. I don't care.
You know what? That's the way I watched them when I was a kid.
No, I got a 50-inch TV on the other side of this wall.
And we're going to watch it.
I want to take advantage of every inch.
In 480p, goddamn. No. We will watch it in 480p.
Oh, my gosh. So many pixels.
No 4x3. We're not dealing with that.
Oh, man. So, Star Wars, great stuff. We're excited. Can you tell?
Yeah, if you can't tell. Yeah, no kidding.
The nerd rage is real.
It's getting hot in here.
It is getting hot. It's getting hot in this room. I'm going to have to take a drink of water.
All right, you guys take a drink of water. I'm going to let you know there were effects of them announcing these Star Wars movies.
What's that?
Fantastic Four 2, which I know we're so excited for,
yes.
Was pushed back a week to get away from Star Wars.
Yeah.
The episode 8. Which was hilarious.
You see what happens when you put the cart before the horse?
Yeah.
You see what happens?
Yeah. Yeah, Fox needs to take a step back and back up off Star Wars.
Yeah. You know, we've been notorious for kind of hating on Fantastic Four, even though I think we were kind of a little bit more satiated by the trailer. But we just need to see more. Like I can't care about Fantastic Four until I start to see more. I think this is a good way to segue into the next bit of news that's directly related, is that we got some more screenshots, promotional images almost, because, you know, these aren't just like leaks or anything, of just more images from the set. And it's still nothing to write home about. It just looks like more photos taken from the last photos that we got of just, you know, everyone standing around in the Fantastic Four, you know, suits. You know, we don't see the thing. We want to see the thing. No one's going to care about this movie until we see the thing.
No. They want to see Doctor Doom. Let's not make any mistake about it. Because we've seen the thing. We've not seen Doctor Doom.
We saw a little bit of his rocky backside. We want to see more.
Yeah. And the problem is with these images, you know, I have read a lot of Fantastic Four books more recently than so because of how they tie into the upcoming Secret Wars event. And I've read all the Ultimate Fantastic Four, which is kind of where a lot of this is coming from. These actors don't look anything like the characters.
Yeah, I could kind of see that too.
And this isn't, you know, oh my gosh, to cast Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm. It's like even Miles Teller doesn't look like a Reed Richards.
Yeah.
And that's also what I take. How do you feel about Fantastic Four, Quentin? This isn't something we don't get to talk with a lot of people about.
Well, we all know Fantastic Four to be the original superhero team, and that gives them a lot of clout in this world of superhero cinematics. But it's kind of, this is one of those things where I don't think they let it die off long enough. So we're, you know, you're still gonna get a lot of nerd rage about, you know, them constantly going back and trying to reboot this, and with what's this guy's name again? Who's playing Reed Richards?
Miles Teller,
who was in
Whiplash.
He was in the Insurgent movie. What's it called?
He's been in a few things, and I've actually really
Divergent.
Liked,
Divergent, that's what it is.
I've really liked him in everything that he's been in, so I'm not too worried about his performance, but man, if they go to the route of the Ultimate Universe and they eventually make him a villain,
yeah.
I think that's
a great
villain. That's what they need to do.
He plays a really good bad guy.
They need to turn... I don't want to say this as spoilers because honestly they could take this either way. But I mean, in the Ultimate Comics, which have been out since, you know, the year 2000, it's been like 15 plus years.
You've had time.
Yeah, Reed Richards makes a great bad guy. Man, he makes a really cool, because he's like basically a megalomaniac. He's trying to fix the world with science, but anything and everything gets in his way, he'll destroy it. So, I mean, I'm looking at the picture right now, and
he's even scarred up.
Yeah,
he's got some bad guy scars.
Yeah, let's turn him into the villain. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, Fox, you want to make Fantastic Four happen, you got to take some risks. You got to make Reed Richards a bad guy.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
And when we got Kate Mara playing Sue Storm, and who doesn't love some Kate Mara?
Well, I mean, she's gonna be invisible half the movie, so it doesn't really matter what she looks like, right?
Zing! I'll tell you what, she's actually in Iron Man 2, if you didn't know that.
Yes, she is. She is the trap.
She gives him subpoenas.
Yeah, she
that's right.
Yeah, but, yeah, so that's how they're related. That's all the movies, they're all connected.
I guess.
Half-Life 3 confirmed.
Somehow.
Yeah. Wow, that took this show to a whole new level. Bringing Half-Life 3
we don't talk about video games here, Quentin.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Not until they're movies. That's when we talk about them.
Low hanging fruit.
Yeah. I think you just brought a whole new audience to our show.
I told him he's not allowed back until the Halo game comes back
out.
You guys can like dish about Halo.
Oh, okay, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So
Mike being the one of the three who decided he was just gonna skip that part of growing up.
Man, I can't buy all these consoles to play all these games, okay?
Excuses.
Yeah. Whatever. I've heard better. So we're going to jump into the next section here, talking about costumes from Fantastic Four, is DC characters, their comics are getting brand new looks.
Yes, they are ending this new 52 thing that they started just like, what, three years ago maybe?
2011, 2012.
Yeah, it's somewhere in that range. But, yeah, so I guess, you know, no one should be surprised when comics just decide to create new timelines. I don't think it's supposed to be a timeline, but this is what comics do. Comics need to refresh. They need to keep people interested. You can never really know what they're going to do. So I guess we can't be too butthurt about it, but the characters are getting new costumes.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I can't be very, in Mike's terms, butthurt about this because I don't have an investment into the DC universe, comics universe. Uh-huh. And the problem is, like, I'm going to touch mostly on three things here.
Okay.
Superman doesn't look bad, okay? He's in jeans and a t-shirt. Big one. Uh-huh. Wonder Woman, she's got blades that come out of her armrest now, but she looks kind of badass.
Yeah, actually, I wish the Wonder Woman, I hope they take some inspirations for the movies. I mean, her new costume seems, the change doesn't seem so radical, but she looks way cooler than whatever they have for the cinematic universe coming out. Let's go with that instead of what they have.
But the three here on the end here, we're going to talk about Batman's
about Batman's new digs.
Did they turn him into Iron Man or what?
He is the DC equivalent, you know, you're rich billionaire who can build himself whatever he needs because he's got Lucius Fox just living out in an underground bunker somewhere.
He looks like he's straight out of a manga with this weird costume. I mean, this is what I have to say about all of this is what Warner Brothers, well, not Warner Brothers, this is what DC wants. DC wants us talking about these crazy costumes, but honestly, what I think it boils down to is we're going to have a couple issues where things look weird and interesting and bizarre, and then they're just going to go back to their normal costumes. You know, there's no possible way that Batman in this mechanical suit is going to run for a whole year.
You think?
No way.
You think they won't stick to their guns?
No way.
Oh, this, they're sticking to these
this
guns.
Is going
to
be 3 issues, and then he's going to get sick.
He's got shoulder-mounted rocket launchers.
Doesn't matter. He's going to get back into the normal costume. Maybe this is, like, I don't know exactly how this was announced, but maybe this is some sort of offshoot, you know, about how to do, like, Spider-Man 2099. Maybe this is, like, Batman, like, 3099 or something.
That is not true. This is actually the universe that will exist after their post-convergent event.
We'll see.
I think this is refreshing, Mike.
You're just doing it to make me mad.
I do it to make you mad, but also
he does it because he loves you.
I have no. We all. None of us here have horses in the race in the DC universe, and I think that whatever they're doing, like any change, is good change for them. I mean, let's even stepping back for a second. Superman, like what they had to do, they boil it down to t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
But if you look at his feet, it's because he's torn up his cape. He's abandoning.
Or
this,
that could be blood.
Or it could be blood. But it seems as though they're trying to make it as if they're abandoning this old standard.
Nah, I think this is Superman goes on a bender for like 12 issues.
And he's just gonna decide to put his tights back on.
He's obviously look at him. He's tired of being a superhero. He's like cut his hair. He wants to go work on a farm again. But then he's gonna have the call to arms. He's gonna put the suit back on. It's gonna be a big deal. They're gonna make a deluxe double sized issue. Then he's going to be back to the normal Superman. This is all temporary. This is what I'm saying. They're going to get back to their roots eventually.
Well, isn't everything temporary then at that point?
Yeah.
All things are temporary.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, everything is going
to They all go back to their capes at some point in time.
But, I mean, moving forward to the next two, we've got
Flash and Green Arrow.
Flash and Green Arrow.
So, I want to say, the Flash looks like his TV costume, which isn't bad. I'm not going to knock on the Flash.
Yeah, the Flash looks pretty consistent with his costume. Nothing too crazy there.
Making a callback to Quicksilver, you're gonna need that frictionless, surface to keep your body skin from peeling off.
This is why you got to start watching the Flash TV show because they lay it all down there. They get the whole futuristic. It's a futuristic fireman suit in the TV show, and it's working out pretty well for him over there.
Yeah, but what I want to touch on is the Green Arrow is how much they're kind of looking like Hawkeye now.
Yeah, he's got no sleeves.
He's got no sleeves. He's got, got a little really thing around sleeves. His eyes. There's no he's got the hood, but he's not wearing it.
Except for the backwoods mullet he's got going on.
The backwoods mullet.
Looks a little Daryl from The Walking Dead.
I think he's just got slick back hair.
I think he got it from Aquaman.
Oh.
Back when Aquaman had his mullet.
Oh, maybe.
But
maybe mullets are coming back. Maybe we're just getting old. Maybe our kids and kids, if you're in high school and you're listening to this, are people wearing mullets? Is this a thing now?
I guess it's related to the DuckTale. You remember the DuckTale that came back in like 2011, 2010?
Yeah.
It made a quick resurgence. DuckTales were cool.
Maybe a little bit.
And if you listened to our show 2 episodes ago, we talked about DuckTales coming back.
Callbacks.
Yeah, that's right. So, and not to get hung up with that, if anyone actually wants to go look at these, they're in our show notes. So,
yeah, take a look
at this. I want to get to the Green Lantern. Two thoughts crossed my mind on this.
Well, you actually, when we say we don't have horses in the race, you kind of like Green Lantern. You follow him.
I have read a lot of Green Lantern, War of Light, and some stuff beyond. Like, and then it's when it started the New 52, but not recently.
Uh-huh.
But first things first, is he wearing an Infinity Gauntlet?
He is wearing the Infinity Gauntlet.
Because, like, you know, the Green Lanterns have all the colors, right?
Yes.
And like, I'm going to assume that there are probably multiple colors in that ring or on that glove.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I mean, the title above it says Renegade, so.
Yeah, and then I showed this to someone else. Everyone's like, he looks like Doctor Doom.
Maybe. I mean, he looks a little vicious. Maybe he's going to go on, like, this dark rampage.
I mean, the imagery is very similar. You can't deny that.
Yeah, it's got the color scheme of Doom. Like, he's got the mask, the scowl, the hood. It's just, I don't know. I see a lot. I mean, I don't try to see Marvel and DC. I want to differentiate them. But these new costumes resonate with me. They're kind of feeling like Marvel costumes.
Yeah, I think obviously the one that stands out the most for us is all the Batman one.
Yeah.
All these other ones are just basically kind of variations, you know, mullet, sans mullet, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I still really want to start picking up DC Comics. I'm just so backlogged with so many other things, but I think honestly what helps is when these movies start to come out, it gets you a lot more interested in these other characters. You know, I don't know a whole lot about Hal Jordan because there's no way in hell I'm going to go watch that Ryan Reynolds movie. So
you wouldn't learn anything anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, all I know about these characters is from the Justice League animated series, and we all love that. We all know that DC's good on the animated films. So, I've read some DC lately, not as much. You know, I'm definitely not even-handed when it comes to these two lines of companies of comics, but you know, we're not here to hate on DC. We would be doing the same. We would be doing the same thing if we saw Captain America in a mechanical suit. We would probably be shitting a bigger fit. Honestly,
Iron Patriot.
don't even get me started on Marvel's like new Captain America, new Thor, and Superior Iron Man. Like,
oh,
I love Marvel like more than I could probably love a human baby, and I think that was just dumb what they did with those three characters. So.
Yeah,
I apologize ahead of time. I'm a little passionate about those.
Yeah.
So,
ooh, man.
We're going to step away. We're getting hot in here. It's getting hot in here.
Yeah, it's getting hot.
Let's cool the jets and talk about something a little bit.
Yeah, this is going to be a little bit of an extended episode. I mean, I think it's okay. We got a guest. I think it's okay.
I'm in here adding 30 minutes.
Yeah, we're running. It's okay if we run past the hour, but we'll keep it moving. We'll keep it moving. Yes. You've got things to do.
Yeah, so I don't watch Walking Dead. You do.
Yes, we both do. We both do over here.
Great. So the companion series, I don't I think it has a title yet.
No.
We're still at Cobalt.
Yeah, it's got a
name Cobalt.
Oh, okay.
Cool. It's got a 2-season order already.
Let's do it, baby. Let's go.
And it's a series. The prequel takes place in Los Angeles, where you guys are.
I'm about to be an extra. You're not even ready.
and it's on the onset the outbreak. So it's not like where like. Current timeline Walking Dead. This is pre Rick waking up from his coma.
Yeah, I read some things that said, you know, that we might the first half of the season or maybe just the first season will deal with a little earlier in this zombie apocalypse, but they seem to drive home the point that eventually these series will be concurrent. They will share the same year, same timeline. So it'll catch up is what they're saying.
It's got a lot of catching up to do.
Oh,
yes. I'm just saying there's a lot of Walking Dead episodes.
Yeah, I think that they kind of mentioned something along the lines of these new set of characters will discover like zombie ideas in different ways. You know, they'll find out on their own way that you need to cut off the head. They'll find out on their own way that you need to stab people in the head when they die, they will come back even if they weren't bitten. So, and then they're saying you might learn things in this companion series that you won't learn in the main series. I think if the right people are behind the show, it'll be good. Quentin sounds a little bit more excited than I am. I'm a little reserved. I mean, this is by far, Walking Dead is the biggest, like, one-hour TV drama on TV right now, I believe. I'm sure it competes with Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones is technically HBO, so I don't know if they're kind of in the same league or not. So it's obvious that we're going to be getting something. This is kind of new. This is kind of a new idea, companion series. I can't really think of any off the top of my head. I don't know if Flash and Arrow would really be considered companion series or not. I mean, they did do a crossover episode. But I'm getting a strong feeling that these shows won't necessarily cross over. I mean, these people are in LA. The other show is in the South. No spoilers, but in these what 4 or 5 seasons, they haven't made it very far. They haven't made it a whole lot of miles. So I don't think these people are going to be crossing paths anytime soon. But I'm kind of more curious what night this is going to be. Night is going to be on. Is it going to be on a Sunday night? Because it's going to be airing when The Walking Dead's not airing. So who knows? We'll see. I'm not mad about it. What do you feel about it?
Well, I wanted to ask Chris if he had anything to add to this before I went off on what I'm
going
to go off on.
Honestly, no. It seems like it's an unnecessary series to me. The Walking Dead season 2 is where it lost me. It was a drawn out season, and
the farm. Chris, we're gonna have to talk when the mics are off.
That's fine. And this is just me, and this is all me. So I really have. I tried to. I'm like halfway through season three is where I stopped. So I'm not. I'm not into it, and I don't really care. But if people want to watch it, go for it. As long as it's good and not just gratuitous zombie shows.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with the good old zombie killing episode every now and then. But as far as this companion series goes, I think it'll be extremely interesting to see an entirely different group of people that come from a different background. Because when you look at our original Walking Dead series, and I'm one of those people that reads the comics and then can't wait to watch the show to see how they handle all the different story arcs and how they're going to change things and what they leave in the show as teasers and little Easter eggs for the comic book readers. But the companion series isn't going to have some of that written down for us. So we're going to be going in completely blind. We will have no idea what the setup's going to be like. But what I wanted to talk about and compare is that you've got a former sheriff who's extremely adept at handling weapons and giving instructions to people about how to handle these dangerous situations. You've got a character like Daryl Dixon who grew up in the backwoods tracking things, hunting things. He's used to killing stuff. It's not like the zombie apocalypse is the greatest thing to ever happen to Daryl Dixon. Because he's a rock star in this world.
Yeah, I think I'm picking up on what you're saying. It sounds like if the zombie apocalypse hits L.A., we need to go to Compton because that's where we'll be protected.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're gonna end up. Now we're dealing with from what I've read and listened to and heard people speculate about. You're talking about a school teacher, his son, who meets another lady and her daughter, and they're all trying to figure out how to survive in a completely different environment. We're talking about an urban environment, a highly densely populated city. There are a ridiculous number of people per, city block in Los Angeles, which makes for a very different type of zombie outbreak situation than you're dealing with some small town on the border of, Georgia and Tennessee or wherever it is that, Rick and the gang started.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at a completely different outbreak story, and I think that's what's going to be really interesting. We're going to have a lot more bodies running around. We're going to have a lot more action. It's going to move a lot faster than what you're used to in this current Walking Dead series, and that's what makes me the most excited, is the potential for it to be so different.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll have two things to add before we move on to the next thing. Robert Kirkman being involved in this makes me excited. He seems to be really on board with this. It doesn't seem like they're moving forward without him, so he's totally on board with it. But it also makes me a little nervous is that they don't have source material to go from. I mean, Robert Kirkman might be there, and they might be able to pick his brain, but he hasn't written any issues for them to go off of. So, that makes me a little nervous. But another thing that makes me happy is that if this is going to be in L.A., it's definitely going to be shot in L.A. I mean, they're going to have all the resources that they need out here. It's going to be kind of cool seeing things I see every day kind of turn post-apocalyptic. Is that going to be hard for them, though? I can't imagine it's too hard to find things that look like the apocalypse in Georgia. I mean, maybe they should have set this in Detroit. Maybe it would have been a little bit easier for them. But I think it'll be kind of cool to see that. I mean, most people out there that watch the show don't live in Los Angeles, so maybe they won't quite feel the connection. But I mean, I'm on board with it. I think it'll be successful. There's no way that they're gonna let this be bad, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have the possibility of being bad. But we'll see. We got a little ways to go before it gets here.
Okay, you guys done?
Okay.
We're done. You guys are pretty passionate about that. I mean, that was some very, very coherent conversation on that. Like, thank you.
Yeah,
for enlightening me.
You're well, welcome.
Yeah, there
welcome
you go.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Oh, The Walking Dead's on tonight too.
Oh! Yeah. So, thank you, and now we'll go to the next topic. We got a teaser for this movie called Pixels coming out. Pixels arrived. It's a Sony movie. It stars Adam Sandler, which doesn't excite me.
Whoa. You don't mess with the Zohan, all right?
Mess with the Zohan. Oh, gosh. Way to prove my point right there.
I kind of like that movie, but I'm just going to leave it at that.
But it's also got Josh Gad and Peter Dinklage. So it's a little higher. It's a little higher on the right side. But anyway, it's about aliens coming to Earth, and they don't know anything about us other than our 8-bit video games.
It's that episode of Futurama, if you if you're wondering. Yes, it's that episode where the aliens invade and Fry has to use his video game knowledge to save the planet.
Oh, don't we all wish that that were the case?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got these, like, this teaser of how it was how long? Maybe 3 seconds?
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, I would assume that this is just, like, letting us know that we're going to be getting a trailer maybe in a week or two.
But I think it's cool, like, you know, they're using Pac-Man and, you know, Space Invaders and such. But, like, the way they translate those to real life look kind of cool in that few second on that teaser.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like – I'm excited for these video game cameos. It worked out really well for Wreck-It Ralph. I love those little cameos in Wreck-It Ralph, and that was fun. So this is going to kind of be bringing it to the real world. I mean, we all grew up with Adam Sandler and his good movies. I don't know. Maybe they're only good because we were young and dumb. But I don't know. Maybe he's kind of coming back with this one. Let's see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Peter Dinklage has a mullet in this, to throw that back to the mullet conversation.
See, they are coming back.
Mullets are in. Mullets are so in this year.
Man. Oh, no.
Yes. Put one on me. I'll take two.
No. Super mullet.
Yes. So that you can find that link on our notes to watch that short trailer.
Yeah, it won't take up much time.
So next up is something I've kind of been badgering you guys about all week.
Yeah.
Powers, the series, was released this week on several network. It was released on the PlayStation Network, but they put the first episode on YouTube for free.
Uh-huh.
And it's about an hour long, and I watched it, and I was blown away.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a great way to kind of end the show with our review of Powers, because this is, like, sneaking up on people. I guarantee the general population, you know, just don't know about this show. When I say general population, I mean just, like, anyone. I mean, anyone that is even out there casually watching, like, Arrow or Flash or Gotham, I mean, they probably don't know about Powers because it's coming out on the PlayStation Network. I was trying to tell people about this show, and I was just like, oh, yeah, Powers, it's a show that's coming to PlayStation. And they look at me, like, dumbfounded, like, don't you mean Sony? It's like, no, I mean PlayStation. You need a PlayStation to watch it. And they're just like, oh, okay.
Well, see, that was a misconception. I've been telling people you have to have a PlayStation to watch it. You can actually buy them from store.playstation.com and watch them in your browser.
Oh, okay.
And they're free to PlayStation Plus members.
Okay, I see what you're saying now.
So you can get the whole season for $25, but, I mean, that's beside the point.
Yeah, but since you were the one most excited about this, give us your review, and we'll kind of just go around this virtual table that we've created of what we thought about Powers.
Yeah, so Powers is about a guy, Christian Walker, who went by the superhero named Diamond. Was a big, big thing, kind of like the Superman of that world. And then one day he lost his powers. And now he's the head. I wouldn't say the head. He's one of the best people on the Powers Bureau, which is like a low budget police force for dealing with crimes, dealing with powers. And honestly, like, seeing this guy's journey, played by Charlton Copley of, you know, District 9 fame, go through, like, what it's like to have powers and go back and be famous and now not be famous, it was, I wouldn't say heart wrenching, but it was definitely like something you don't see within superhero movies very much.
Yeah, and just to clarify, you know, we're just talking about, like, the very first couple minutes of the show. We don't want to spoil anything for anyone out there.
Yeah.
But
it's on YouTube. I'll put the YouTube link in the show notes so you can watch the first episode for free.
Yeah, we're definitely going to put that in there because I have a feeling that we're all going to be in recommending this. But continue.
But yeah, so, I mean, it's just this guy, Christian Walker's journey, and, you know, his main villain is the Wolf. Played by Eddie Izzard, which is awesome. Like, I didn't know Eddie Izzard was in it until almost the day before I started watching the show. And it's low budget on the visual effects, but I think the story is there, and that's really what matters. And my favorite thing is we meet someone. I think, what was her name? Was it Zora? Girl who's dressed like Psylocke, but has the visor from Star Trek.
Yes, exactly. That is a perfect description of what she looks like.
I just think it's a superhero show that focuses on someone who had powers and lost them, and it's going to be a great 10 episodes. I cannot wait to watch the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm going to let Quentin have the last word about the show since he's our guest. But from my point of view, this has – I'm just going to use the word potential. I mean, this – is going to shape up to be something really amazing. You kind of get a trailer for the whole season at the end of this first episode that definitely got us both really excited. I'm just super interested to see what they do with this world. I mean, they're really creating their own unique world. I mean, this isn't just like another, like, this isn't just like the Avengers on TV or anything like that. They're forming this own little unique thing, you know, that powers can go away, they can come back. It kind of reminded me a little bit of the Misfits TV show that was over in the UK. I don't know if it was on BBC or what network it actually aired on. I think
watch it on Hulu.
Yeah, I think most people just watched it on Hulu. It kind of gave me that vibe. And I think the cool thing about the show, you kind of get the vibe of the show that it's almost halfway in between a web series, halfway in between like something that might show up on Showtime or HBO. It's just kind of weird. Like, it has that seriousness that you would find on more of a premium network. You know, it definitely is not tame enough to be on like a CBS or like a CW or something like that. It's not that tame, which is good. I am really excited. Like I said, potential. Every time we've talked about superhero TV shows on this show, I've always said we haven't reached that pinnacle of superhero TV yet. Everything's been good, and I've liked what I've been watching just because we haven't had the Shawshank, well, it doesn't really make any sense, the Shawshank of TV shows of superheroes, bad analogy, but we haven't hit the pinnacle yet, and I think this is a great addition to get us there. I don't necessarily think we'll get there with these 10 episodes. I think they'll be awesome 10 episodes. I think it's better than some of the stuff that's out there already, but we are moving in the right direction. I'm telling you, I mean, we're getting a little darker tone from this, and like we said, we want the darker tone from Daredevil. So I think this is great. I believe you said this is a weekly show. It's going to come out every week.
Yeah, the first three episodes are out this week, and then the rest are for the next 6 weeks.
Okay, so, you know, this is going to kind of be wrapping up when we get Daredevil. This is going to be a great 2 months of superhero TV. I mean, on top of that, you know, we're getting towards the end of the seasons for Arrow and Flash, and I think Gotham is going to be wrapping up soon, too. I mean, superhero TV, that's the next big wave to start coming. You know, the movies might start to slow down possibly within the next 5 to 6 years. The TV shows are going to start ballooning and getting huge. This is cool. I just hope people watch it. You know, I guarantee I could go out to 10 people on the street and maybe not a single one of them are going to know about this. But this was, I mean, it's cool. It has potential. I'm going to be watching more, so I'm going to hand it over to Quentin. What did you think?
All right, we're just going to roll into this here. I really, really, really appreciated what they were doing with this show. But we need to kind of step back and kind of talk about, you know, this is coming from Brian Michael Bendis, the man himself. So it's got a solid foundation to start from.
We got good source material.
So that is like number one. That's paramount to, you know, getting these TV shows off the ground. But one thing that I felt it had the strong connection to things like The Watchmen and even something a little bit more like Fables, if anybody out there has ever read Fables. I'm not sure if Chris is familiar with Fables at all.
Bill Willingham? Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, but, and then you, so even what Mike said, it's kind of got this, what did you say it was, it reminded you of?
A little bit of Misfits.
Misfits. So you kind of got this, like, Fables, Misfits, and I'm not even sure what I just said.
Watchmen.
Watchmen.
So Fables, Misfits, Watchmen. Yeah.
Fables, Misfits, Watchmen kind of rolled up into this perfect little package, and it's great. It's something I got really excited by the time we were at the end of it. It was just like, what's this going to do? What's that going to do? What's happening here?
Yeah.
What's that going to look like? And, you know, as it rolled on, I found myself leaning more and more into the TV, and I was sold. I'm bought in. I'm purchasing. Take my money. Shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
You get to have all of it because I'll be watching this throughout.
Yeah. By no means does this first episode start off slow. it kind of starts off a little clunky because you kind of gotta wedge yourself into this the universe that they created.
Yeah.
Because you're a little uneasy. It's like you're on like a wobbly chair. You don't know like, oh, what is this? Are we going for a TV universe, cinematic universe? You know, where does this live? But then like maybe like 10 minutes into it, you're gonna be sold. They do some really outlandish stuff. I mean, I don't know if you can necessarily give the credit to the TV show because. I don't know if any of us here has actually read the source material. I haven't. So this obviously was an idea from Brian Michael Bendis. I'm not going to spoil it, but there's kind of this raunchy idea of a way that you can kind of temporarily attain superpowers, which is
I mean, it was interesting. It was like, well, no one's ever said that before.
Yeah, it's kind of like adding to the superhero lore, I guess, kind of the things that you can do with it.
Magical blood is all we could say.
Yeah, I guess that's a way to put it. But yeah, I'll say at to kind of put my final 2 cents in here, I'm excited to do a spoiler review because I want to talk about these unique things that they're doing in this show.
Yeah, here's my thing. Like, I've kind of been hyping this show all week to everyone I can get my hands on, and I was so worried that, you know, when you guys watch it, you weren't gonna like it. Mm-hmm. Because I did, and I'm really glad that you guys totally agree with me and approve on that. So yeah,
we can still be friends, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I'm like, I don't want to shove this show off, and they're like, why do you even like that? It's stupid.
Well, but, I figured I'd give you this since I'm not on the same level of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that you are.
That's true. That's a whole different game. So, Powers, we all give it thumbs up. Go watch it. Find the YouTube link in our notes.
We're actually giving the thumbs up to the microphone.
Yeah, there's right actually now. Someone here I can interact with physically. So,
ladies and gentlemen, this is the sound of a thumbs up.
That sounds good. That sounds good. So, that's really it for news and stuff today. However, I want to touch on something we're doing this week. You guys ready for this?
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay, we're doing a promotion. We're giving something away.
Whoa!
Air horn.
Wow, that's the biggest fanfare I've ever think I've received. Thank you.
The show is hype now.
It is real.
So much hype. So this week we're gonna give away a copy, a digital copy, to be used with Disney Movies Anywhere of Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Yes, one of literally. Possibly the best Marvel movie that's been made.
Yeah, it blew me away in 2014, and I watched a little bit of it the other day. I think it was Friday afternoon. Just the opening where he gets to the boat, and I'm like, I want to watch. Sit down and watch this whole thing. Good.
Okay, so you know, if I'm a super fan of superhero slate, you know, I watch the show every week, and I want to take advantage of this giveaway, this promo, this crazy way to see a movie for free. What do I need to do, Chris?
You need to email us your favorite superhero to superheroslate, all one word, @gmail.com.
Uh-huh. Do they need to add anything else? Is it just the superhero?
Give us your name, I guess. I mean, just a sentence why that superhero is your favorite.
Uh-huh.
And we will email you, the winner, the code.
Uh-huh.
And we will announce that on next week's podcast.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So don't tell anybody about this. Like, make them listen to the podcast to get this information.
I mean, come on, people. We're 10 episodes in. I mean, we're not raking in the dough over here, and we're still giving stuff away. That's how much we care about you.
It's true, and I think I actually have another giveaway for next week, and then one for the week after that.
Okay, and I have to say. You know, I'm sorry, Quentin. You used to be a fan, but since you've been a host, you can't enter.
Listeners, your chances of winning this prize have increased tenfold.
Yeah,
because I am no longer eligible.
We lost one of our 10 listeners. They've been on the show now.
No. I don't think we should self-deprecate ourselves that much.
Okay. But, 11.
Oh, but yeah, email us at superheroslate@gmail.com. Just even if you want to let us know anything, if you like the show, if you agree with us, if you want to enter the contest, just let us know who your favorite superhero is. One sentence why, and you could be watching The Winter Soldier for free.
Yeah, and I'll be reading these off next week. So like I want to hear creativity. I want to hear something unique, and you know, I don't want I like Spider-Man! !! Like, give us something good. Like,
yeah,
we want to read this out. Have some fun with it.
Yeah,
and that's really it for the show today.
Whoa, what a show. It is steamy in this room.
It is. Oof. This is good. This is some good energy.
Yeah, that's what happens when you bring this body heat in.
Oh, man. So, people can email us at superheroslate@gmail.com. But how else can we reach you, Mike?
Well, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Mike Royer Design on Twitter or on Instagram. I'm still drawing silly little pictures. People seem to like them, so maybe you guys will like them too. Also, I'm testing some jokes on Twitter. Every time I think of something pseudo funny that could possibly turn it. That I could possibly turn into a comic at pickledcomics.com. I try to put it up there and test it. Some of the stuff, I think it's funny. I mean, I don't know. I don't really care what you think. I'm still going to draw the comics. So
he's going to laugh at himself regardless.
Yeah, this is basically like masturbation, but, you know, without the genitals involved. Just has to do with my pencil. Oh, that sounded weird. Okay, I'm done. I'm
wrapping up.
I'm
just
man, that escalated quickly.
Yeah, it did. It's too hot in this room.
Oh, my gosh. So, how about this? I'll jump in next. So, all right. If you want to reach me, you can get me at Twitter, at Valdan, V-A-L-D-A-N. Uh-huh. You can read me on Comic UI, or you can head over to Nerd Traffic and check it out there.
Uh-huh.
So, every Friday night, up until Ultron, I'm doing a live tweet of another Marvel movie. Last week was Thor, had a good time. Uh-huh. Next week is, I believe it's Captain America, the First Avenger.
Ooh.
So 8 p.m. Eastern. If you can't make it, you know, do it later. Like, have some fun with it. Like, I'm just watching one a week, getting up to Age of Ultron, because I'm ready. I am ready!
Yeah, because we're getting to a point now when you're doing those, like, crazy movie marathons before the movie comes out. Like, I think they're actually legitimately doing a marathon for Age of Ultron. We were in the theater for, like, 12-plus hours. I don't know who...
27.
I don't know who's... Oh, God. I don't know who is managing that, but holy crap.
Yeah, I mean, I did one with you, Mike, and that was it. That was good.
Yeah, I mean, that was just for Iron Man 3, and that was like, what, like three movies that we had to wait to get that one?
Yeah.
We were like surviving off cliff bars. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was awful,
so. Yeah, but, I mean, special thanks to Mr. Quentin Parker for being a guest on the show. He made this room extra warm, and I'm sweaty, and I need to drink a lot of water. But if people want to follow your musings and your rants and your overall pissy demeanor at most things in life.
I am the grumpy old man.
Yeah, you are the grumpy old man. That's a good way to put it.
If you want to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, the tag is the same, so I'll make it easy for you. It's at BougieQ on Twitter and Instagram, and I'll spell that for you because I know it's a very difficult word to spell.
Okay, before you even spell it, I mean, I try to get everyone out there to make their Instagram handles their real names because this is getting confusing, people. But, you know, I guess I can't complain, but...
And that is BougieQ, before you forget, because Mike is very rude. It is B-O-U-G-I-E-Q. Once again, that is B-O-U-G-I-E-Q.
Yeah, you can check out some of your photography. I'm in some of your photography.
Yeah.
You can see my cute little mug in some of his photos.
Yeah,
or you can find him harassing me while he's listening to the podcast later.
Or you could just go to @Valdan and then look for me, and then that way you'll know. You'll know who it is.
Yeah, you love to harass people, that's for sure.
So, yeah, that's it for a show. That's episode 10, Mike.
Ooh, we're 10 in. That's all my fingers.
That was like an anniversary. Can we wrap this up in a box set and sell it for $30? What's going on here?
Man, if we could make any money, I'd be happy.
Yeah, I like the way you think, but... As always, please visit superheroslate.com, and you can find all the episodes there. You can find the links to our Facebook page. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can subscribe via email, YouTube. We try to get out there wherever we can. And also, reviews on iTunes definitely help. That helps us get some exposure. But this train ain't stopping. It's not stopping. So, yeah, signing off here from this super hot, sweaty room. Guys, have a good week. Bye, everybody.
Play that outro music.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe.